Why don't we pray, and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your goodness, and for, in your mercy, giving us these moments that we can together sing to you and together come into your presence, together read your word and remember Jesus. So God, as we do that now, I pray that as we open your word, that it would be living and powerful. What we read from your word would be that your spirit would move in us and draw us nearer to you and help us understand, and that we would be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we saw that, to sum up what we saw last week, we saw that God's word, the Bible, what we hold in our hands and read, it's a treasure. It should be our treasure. It's a book that is full of wonders. God speaks to us when we read the Bible. It's living. It's powerful. So, and we saw this in Psalm 119, we should, and we can, and we should love the Bible. We should, if we love God, then logically we should love his word. Loving God's word is not idolatry. It's not loving something else before the only one that we should love, because it's his word. It's him speaking to us. So if we love him, we should love what comes out of his mouth. We should base our lives on it. It should be the foundation of our faith, not what does the church say? What does God's word say? And I think we would all at the end of last week's sermon say, yeah, I knew that coming in. I profess that. That's what I believe. I can affirm that. Of course, the Bible is God's word. He speaks to us when we read it. It should be the treasure of our lives. We should love God's word. So then the question for us this week is, what would we do if we truly loved or wanted to love the word of God? What would we do? I think we would go to Ezra chapter 7. This is the pattern verse for this little mini-series about the Word of God. I think we would do what Ezra did. Look at verse 10, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart. That's where we started last week, right? I want to love the Word of God, so I'm going to set my heart on, what did he do? To study the law of the Lord. And I know that's not the end of the verse, but that's the end of the verse for us today. He set his heart to study the law of the Lord. He dedicated his heart to read and to understand God's word. That's what he wanted to do, and he did that. Now, this is where our reality enters in. I think it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to read the Bible. It's hard for us to get and I'm saying the royal us, right? Not each one of us in particular. There's some of you that would say, that's not hard for me at all. I read my Bible a whole bunch. But I think for most of us, let me put it this way. I think very few of us could raise our hands and say, yeah, I read the Bible a lot. A lot of the Bible, a lot of the time. Every day, multiple times throughout the day, I'm reading big chunks, chapters at a time of the Bible. And I think all of us could raise our hands and say, I could, I should read more. That's something I should do. So in that sense, we don't treat this book as if it were truly God's word. If I had God's word in my hands, I wouldn't stop reading it. But because we don't do that always, we don't always treat this book as if it were God's word. This week, I want us to not just talk about the Bible in general, but specifically how to read the Bible and what it would mean for us to make that a huge part of our lives. And so before we do that, let's start with this question. Think about this question a little bit. I kind of asked this last week, more rhetorically, but think for yourself, what are some of the reasons that we don't read the Bible more? So just in your mind, maybe it's because, you know, you say, well, it's boring, it's dry when I try to read, or other people have said that, or I'm just busy. I forget to do. I have written down on my, okay, so I read the Bible in the morning. I try to read the Bible in the morning. So confession, I don't always, I try to make that my habit. And then I have written down, I have this complicated piece of paper that every day I print it out, and every day I write stuff that I was trying to do. And one of the things that I don't write every day, it's just on there because I want to do it every day, is at noon, read the Bible. And guess how often, even though it's written there, I forget to do it. It's so maybe for you, you say, yeah, we don't read the Bible because we're busy and we don't have time and we forget, or I'm not as interested as I should be in doing it, honestly. It's so much more interesting to grab the remote control because I know what's going to come up on that screen is going to be fascinating. And when I open this book, don't feel like it's fascinating. Or maybe you just say, you know, I don't understand what I read. Well, what are some of the reasons why you don't read the Bible more in particular? Okay, if God's word is immeasurably valuable, if God truly speaks to us when we read it, I think the question we should ask ourselves is how? How can I become a person that reads the Bible a lot? How can I make that part of who I am as a person? I don't talk about it, I just do it. Let's go back to David. Let's go back to Psalm 119. And I know, I'm going to say David. I know that we don't know if David actually wrote Psalm 119. There's controversy. Who knows who actually wrote it? I'm going to say David for the sake of saying a name as we go through this. Let's see whoever wrote Psalm 119, what they did. We saw last week how he loved the word of God. It was his treasure. This week, let's go back and look at it with a different set of filters on and say, what did he do with the Bible? If he loved the Bible that much, what did he actually do with it? Was it just lip service? What were the things? And what we'll see, he did three very specific things with the Word of God. And if you're eagle-eyed, you'll say, well, he did another one. That's next week. So this week, he did three very specific things with the Word of God. First of all, this wasn't where I was going with this, but it's there. So he asked God to give him his Word, to help him understand his Word. He said, God, having God's Word in his hands, he said, God, give this to me. So he asked God, and it was over and over again, so I couldn't just leave this one out. Go to verse 18, and yes, we're going to make three passes through Psalm 119 and just pick verses through it. So starting at the beginning, verse 18, that's not the beginning, it's our beginning for this pass through. Verse 18, open my eyes. So he's talking to God in all of these. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on earth. Hide not your commandments from me. So it's as if he has God's word in his hands and he's going to read. And he says, open my eyes. I want to see. I want you to talk to me. I want to see what the beautiful things that I know are in here. And when I open it up and it's not, I'm not getting anything and it's kind of boring and I don't understand. Open my eyes. I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want to hear what you have for me in your word. Keep reading in verse 26. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Now look at this. Teach me your statutes. He's asking this of God. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. We're supposed to teach each other the word of God, but he goes to God and says, would you teach me your word? Keep going. Verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. I know who you are. I want to hear your voice. Verse 108, accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. Verse 124, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. So if David were reading Romans and he got to chapter 9 or 11 or 1 or any of the chapters in Romans and said, what does that mean? I don't get that. That's too hard for me. Would he close his Bible and put it to one side, or would he say, God, I'm your servant. Give me understanding. I want to know your word. I want to understand you. That's what he asked God, not of Romans. It hadn't been written yet, but of God's word. So he asked God, he said, teach me, give me this, give me understanding, open it up for me, help me get it. The second thing he did with God's word is, sounds painfully stating the obvious, but he read God's word, he absorbed, he took it in. Look at verse 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. So he put them in front of himself. What does that mean? Well, it has to mean, at the very least, he read them. He read God's word. Verse 48, I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So I'm reaching out for your word. There's an implied, I'm reading it. I want this. I want to get your word. Look at verse 51. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. So I keep reading your word, no matter how bad my life is. 52, when I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Verse 61, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. So I read that and I think to myself, okay, did he wake up at midnight and just say, God, thank you for your word? Or is maybe he waking up at midnight, reaching for a scroll, turning on a candle? I think that's what they, that's what they did, right? At that time? Okay. We're getting light, getting a scroll, and reading God's word and saying, thank you. This is what I needed right now. He's praising God through all times. He's reading God's word. Look at verse 81. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. So verse 94, I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. So I've sought, I've wanted, I've gone after what you say, God. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. See, how did he do that? How did he seek God's precepts or consider his testimony? There is an implied, I'm reading God's word in that. Look at verse 109. I hold my life in my hand continually. And we know David's story. He did. He was always in danger, almost always in danger of being killed. But I do not forget your law. Verse 117. Hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually, that I would pay attention to your word always. That's how you could say that last phrase. And verse 147, and you see the always part of that also in 117. Okay, verse 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. Again, this is a picture of waking up in the morning before everybody else is awake and saying, okay, first thing, before I do my exercises, which I love to do, before I get the coffee, or maybe after I get the coffee, the Bible is always better with coffee. And that is a non-debatable fact. Get the coffee, but I don't do anything else. I don't start work. I don't fill out my list of stuff I got to do today. Before it's light, which that's not me. It gets light way too early. But anyway, early in the morning, first thing, read the Bible. Verse 148, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. 173, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. And again, there's an implied, if he chooses God's precepts, he's choosing to obey them. He's also choosing to read them. He's absorbing God's word. You read this and you say, I'm going to say David, whoever wrote that read God's word a lot. And he didn't have YouVersion or a handy Bible like we do. Look at number three. It'll be verse 11 when we get there. The third thing that he did with God's word that he loved, that was his treasure, that was full of wonder for him, thought about it. He meditated on it. He thought about it a lot throughout his day. He was always thinking about not, so that show ended that way last night. So that means, I bet in the next episode, next week, it's going to, or if you're binge watching, you know, tonight when I watch the end of the series, he was thinking about God's word all the time. Look at verse 11. I stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So he read God's word and then he stored it up in his heart. And I read that and I say it's a fairly short jump to say he memorized. He memorized God's word, parts of God's word at the very least. He memorized it and he thought about it. Look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts, fix my eyes on your way. So I'm going to look at what you say. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And that is such just a slap across the face for me, because how often do I read the Bible and I close it and I say, oh, I need to ask myself the question. We're going to talk about this next week. What do I need to do? And then they're like, well, what did that even say? I forget it as soon as I close the Bible sometimes. He said, I'm not going to forget your word. I'm going to always be thinking about it. Verse 23, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. If you had people plotting against you, and some of us feel like we do, you know, at work or family or whatever, what are you thinking about? What am I going to say to them the next time? How am I going to get out of it? How am I going to fix that problem? He says, no. I'm meditating. I'm thinking about your word that I've been reading. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 54, your statutes have been my song in the house of my sojourning. So I sing the words of Scripture. That's meditating in a very deep way on what God says. Look at verse 78. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. Bad stuff happening, bad people wronging him. As for me, I'm just going to stew. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get him back. No, as for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Everything for him goes back to, I'm going to think about the word of God. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I like this verse because it just puts it together. I love your law. So what am I going to do? I'm going to meditate on it. And to meditate on it, I have to have read it, right? There's a reading step in the middle. So I love your law. So what do? I read it. I meditate on it. I think about it. When? All the time. All day long, that's what I think about. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Always thinking about, running my mind over what I read this morning. That's what he's saying. 172, my tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. He spent a lot of time thinking about the word of God, which means he read it, and then it was in his heart. And then he kept it in his mind. So what do we learn from David's example? We learn how to listen to God. We learn that I read this and I say, he wasn't just reading the Bible because I need the daily Bible reading, check. I'm going to pray now, check. And then I got to go off and be just a good king and make some money. And he wanted to hear God's voice. He wanted to hear God talk to him through his word. That's what he wanted. So what did he do? He asked God, give me your word. Help me understand it. And then he sought after God's word. He read the Bible. He thought about, he meditated on what he had read. He was contemplated it in his heart and in his mind, even to the point of singing out those words. When he was writing songs, what came out of him? It was God's word that came out of him as he sang. When we imitate his example and do those things, we end up listening to God and having a connection with him, experiencing his presence through his word. When we get to the end, and you might be asking yourself, I don't know, I hope not, because this is the wrong question to ask, but it popped into my mind, and so I wrote it down. So is it a sin to not read the Bible? I mean, do I go to hell if I don't read the Bible? Am I not a good Christian if I don't read the Bible? And again, I think that's the wrong question to ask, but I asked it, so I'll try to answer it. I don't have a verse that I can go to and say, see, it's a sin if you don't read your Bible every day. However, I look at just these examples in this psalm, and I think I feel very safe in saying the following. If you don't read the Word of God, you don't grow. You don't come to know God better. You won't be transformed more and more into a man or a woman after his own heart, into the image of Christ. What'll happen is you will slowly die spiritually. You'll become a religious shell of a person with faith, the shell of faith, but not a real relationship with God. Reading the Bible is a matter of life or death, spiritual life or death for Christians, for those who would know God and walk with Jesus. So here's an application question for all of us. What is the distance for you? What is the distance between what you actually read and meditate in the Word of God? So you think about your last week and say, okay, this is what I actually read and meditated on God's Word, and how much you know that you could or you should read, meditate in the Word of God. What is that distance for you? And what we should do, the application for us, is we should do that. We should read the Bible and meditate on it as much as we know that we should. And if you say, well, how would I do that? How do we do that? Because it's easy to say, read the Bible more. And then we leave and we say, a month from now, I tried to read the Bible more. Just couldn't get it into my routine, into my life. So I backloaded this message with some things that I found practical. and I'll share them with you. Practical tips, how can I read the Bible more? Choose what you're going to read. Have a plan. And if you say, oh, it's so structured, and yeah, choose something to read. Whether it's just saying, I'm going to open up the New Testament and start at the beginning and read till I get to Revelation. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to open up the Old Testament and read from Genesis on until I get to the New Testament. I'm just going to read through that. Whatever your plan is, or a new version, find a plan, a Bible reading plan. Devotional plans are good, but they're like books, you know, reading a good, inspiring book. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for a Bible reading plan that's full of Bible. Or maybe you go old school and you print out one of those ones with the check boxes on it, you know, that you can check off every day as you read. Read the Bible in a year. That's a wonderful plan. Whatever your plan is, maybe you say, I'm just going to read the book of John, or you said Romans, I'm going to read Romans just over and over and over again until I'm done with Romans. Not finished with the book, but you know, I'm reading it multiple times for a month or two. Whatever your plan is, have a plan. Make sure it's one that gives you multiple chapters, big sections of the Bible every day to read. Learn to read the Bible. I mean, sometimes I get done, I feel like I'm reading a lot of the Bible, and I look at the time, was like, that was like half of a 30-minute episode of a show that I can watch no problem, and then binge watch the next five. So that 15 minutes shouldn't have felt as long as it did. We should read big sections. Choose a plan, whatever your plan is, big sections, chapters, multiple chapters at a time. Ideally, Old and New Testament at the same time. We are people of the book, but we're people of the new covenant. So starting in Genesis, reading all the way through to the New Testament, valid. I'm sure we've all done that multiple times, but I find it better to be reading Old and New at the same time. Read things that go in order. Start with books and just read through that book and then the next book. And here's something worth writing down. My favorite plan, all-time plan, it's a guy's name. It's M-C-H-E-N. No, I said that wrong. Don't write that. M-C-H-E-Y-N-E, Machane. I think it's a Scottish name. Person who lived a long time ago. It's a plan. You can look for it in YouVersion. Machane reading plan. It takes you through the whole Bible. I think the Psalms a couple times, the New Testament a couple times, I think, in a year, something like that. But you basically, every day, it gives you four chapters to read from four different books. It tracks the books. They're old, too old, too New Testament. Sometimes there's Psalms thrown into that. It gives you a really good balance, and you're reading through books at a time. Love that one. The chronological one is good, although kind of heavy on the Old Testament at the beginning, obviously. Reading through the New Testament or whatever it is, decide what you're going to read. Then decide when you're going to read. We should do two things. We should have set times that this is the time when I read the Bible every single day. I always read the Bible right now. This is my time. We should have those times, preferably in the morning, but whenever that is for you, that would be my suggestion. Set that up in the morning. If you already read in the morning, say, okay, I'm going to add on a midday reading. I'm going to add on a nighttime reading. Whatever it is, we should have set times, and we also should read the Bible spontaneously throughout the day. And so that's what we should, pick a time. When are you going to read the Bible? It's easier when it's the first thing, and it's better because it affects the rest of your day. And then do that every day. Read your plan at your designated time. Don't let anyone take you away from that. Be just rigid in that. Pray as you're doing it, like David did. As you open the Bible, say, God, I don't just want to check this off my list and get my plan done for the day. I want you to talk to me. So help me understand. Make this living and powerful. Pray the words of Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 over what you're going to read. Make this living and powerful. Get inside of me. Expose me as I read. And then read with anticipation and with desire that God and His presence will appear in His Word, and I'm going to listen to His voice. God's going to talk to me as I read. That is transformative as we read the Bible. So, and that's how we can read the Bible more. What about the meditation, the thinking about the Word of God? Here are some practical ways to do that, because I found I struggle with this one a lot. It doesn't happen by accident. We have so much going on, at least I think most of us do. And we don't have, our minds don't just naturally go back to what we read in the morning and meditate on the Word of God all day. We have to try to do that. So maybe that starts with you by, you know, underlining stuff as you read the Bible and highlighting stuff and picking out phrases, and it maybe it's picking out some specific phrases that you read and saying, I'm gonna memorize that just for today, not for all time. My mind can't hold on to something for that long. But for today, this phrase, I'm going to meditate on this phrase that I read this morning. Throughout the day, I'm going to incorporate that into my prayers. I'm going to think about that phrase. Grabbing a phrase or two as you read in the morning is a really helpful way to then meditate on it throughout the day. Another helpful thing is to memorize big chunks of the scripture and write them down. Whatever you have to do to memorize, write it down, put it on cards, flash through it, you know, repeat it over and over until it's just burned into your mind. Whatever it takes, have a plan for meditating on the word that you read. And something to remember, when reading the Bible is the easiest thing to cut out of our day. When I look at my day and say, I don't think I'm gonna have time today to read the Bible. Later, I'll do that later, later on, and then later never comes. Remember this, you and I are made up, we're constructed, we're built up by the things that we do on a regular basis over and over and over again. There was a time in the not too distant past that I ate big quantities of potato chips, barbecue potato chips, normally, every evening, almost every evening. I was as regular as that as I was with my Bible reading, sometimes more so, every evening. And when I say evening, I mean, you know, when I would go to the kitchen and make my evening dinner at, you know, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. So worst time to eat potato chips. And then I did it every day. And many of you witnessed how I started becoming built by what I was doing on a regular daily basis. Thank you for not amening. I hope my sons will follow your example this evening. If we want to be built as people by the word of our Father, we have to read His word every day. We have to read it regularly throughout the day. We have to make that be something that is not just a once in a while, I'm trying to do that, like flossing our teeth. Well, that should be every day too, shouldn't it? Something that is a non-negotiable part of our life because it will build us. We will be built by what we do with God's word. So what are you going to do to incorporate this habit into your life or grow the habit that you already have? Okay, that's our question. Now, as we enter into a time to remember Jesus, I want to read two verses together. And you might say, these verses don't go together. I know they don't. I think trying to make them go together too tightly brings them both out of their context. So I'm aware of that. However, I think they're really interesting to read together. The first one, and I think they will help prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper together. The first one is the verse that Jesus said to Satan in Luke 4 when Jesus was in the desert being tempted. He had been fasting, and Satan was now tempting him to eat when he was fasting. And look at how Jesus responds to him. Luke 4:4, Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And maybe your translation, your version adds on, "but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's what Jesus said. Which is interesting because when we think about last week, and this kind of gets into a, you know, twisting our brains up kind of thing, Jesus was the Word of God, is the Word of God that was given to us. God spoke through Him. And then later, look at John chapter 6. Jesus said the following in His teaching, and I know that these verses aren't meant to be just jammed together as if they were saying the same thing, but I find them interesting to read together. So look at John chapter 6, verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He," so now it's a person, same way the Word of God is a person now with Jesus, "the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, if you follow the whole conversation in the context, they're hungry. And so he said, "There's bread." And they missed the part of bread being a person. And they said, "Give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So Jesus, the Word of God, is also the bread of God that comes down from heaven. And our life comes from every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus is able to satisfy us completely, totally, from the inside in a way that food never could. That's what we receive when we enter into Him. If you're not a Christian, and you're listening to this, this moment is an invitation for you. It's an invitation to receive the bread of life, to receive Jesus by surrendering to Him, by repenting and being baptized. And then verse 35 that we just read would be true for you. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. When you come up out of the water, that is now your reality. And in this community, when you say, I want that, tell one of the men who has been up here. You can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, this is our moment to remember and to thank, to thank Jesus for His sacrifice on the cross, to thank God for sending His Son, to thank God that we have received, because of what He did on the cross, true life in Him. The Word of God, Jesus, has saved us and transformed us, and now we are children of God. And He satisfies us. He makes us whole the way nothing else is able to. And that is our experience as God's children. And so now we remember that. We also thank Him for that. Let's remember the cross, His body and blood together, as we take bread. Then there'll be a prayer, and then we'll take the juice together. God, we come to You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your love. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for moments like today in which You, through Your Word, remind us, call us in, to go further in, to read Your Word more, to meditate more on Your Word, to let it permeate our lives. And God, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that through Him we have life, because He gave His life on the cross. In His name we pray. Amen.